2025. It's official, right? Whether you slept through that changeover or like I did, I wasn't up for any fireworks. I was sleeping. But it happened, right? And so now we're in a new year. And there's always exciting things about that. And whether you're listening to prophetic words or not listening to prophetic words, you know, there are words for what this year brings. And some of the words are very exciting. But for you, what does it mean for you as you come into this new year? And I was kind of alluding to that earlier, because many people, right, we want things for this year. Everybody wants, there are things we want for this year, okay, whether we say it or not. And maybe it's just good to come out right and just say it, right? Share it with somebody, share it with a friend, share it with your spouse. Things that you really are praying and hoping and desiring to see in this year. Press in. It is time to press in. Now, some people, of course, when it comes to New Year's, they like to make New Year's resolutions, right? Are you anybody like to make, or you just don't want to admit that you do it? Like, you like to do it, or you admit, okay, nobody's going to raise their hand, whether you do or don't do, or you just get, sometimes, like, people just give up on all that, right? And I think there's a reason why, because while there was a study that showed 40% of Americans do make resolutions, New Year's resolutions, not many of them keep them, right? Because, you know, resolutions are not easy to keep. Resolutions, like in this study, people said their resolutions were like to exercise more, to eat healthy, to lose weight, also to get closer to God. So, you know, out there in the world, there are people making resolutions. One of them is to actually get closer to God. And that's a good one, right? And all these things, though, take effort, right? They take work, they take some effort. But the problem with resolutions is January 12th. January 12th is the issue, because January 12th, I didn't know this, but if you look it up, you can Google this, January 12th is known as National Quitters Day. Did anybody know that? You experienced it, right? The National Quitters. You see, and that's why people don't do resolutions, because there is January 12th. And if you've experienced January 12th enough times, you just say, what's the purpose? What's the use? This is National Quitters Day. I might as well just join the throng of people, because studies show that by January 12th, statistically, most people have given up on their resolutions. It's done with. Not even 2 weeks, not even two full weeks into the year, it's done with, right? And only, study says, only 8% of people actually achieve their resolutions. They actually achieve them. 8%. I mean, this is like lemmings running for the cliff, you know? It's just not a good percentage happening. I'm sorry if you don't know. Anyway, you study lemons. There's some good National Geographic work on that. So anyway, it's not a good, 8% is not a good return. So what happened to all those good intentions? Because they were, I mean, resolutions are good intentions. They're good things. I mean, people don't usually resolute to be a bad person or to make other people's lives miserable. I mean, that's not usually what resolutions are about. They're usually good intentions. But why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? Why does it, is it too much sacrifice? What is it about resolutions? Well, we know change can be hard, even when the best of intentions are involved, right? Good intentions don't always lead to change. But you would think, right, that if it's worth the sacrifice to get the rewarding results, we do it, right? We would do it, isn't it? And isn't it worth it? Like, the resolutions, isn't it worth it? Logic says yes, but the failure rate says something else altogether. And it says a lot about our human nature, a lot about our human nature. Maybe one reason, simply put, is that many people cannot follow through on these good, healthy changes is simply because it requires a lot of self-discipline, right? That word, part of that word, we don't like. We don't understand this from our own personal experiences of what it takes to make changes in our lives. And oftentimes, it's the desire for comfort that is greater than our desire to change, our desire to gain. The desire for comfort oftentimes is greater or becomes greater than our desire to gain a discipline in our life that will help transform our life or enable us to do things, right, that we could not do before. And we want to see change, but it's hard to overcome. For instance, if I want to learn piano, or you want to learn a language, say you want to learn Chinese this year. I don't know, if you want to learn Spanish, you want to learn, or you want to learn how to play piano. You know what it's going to take. It's going to take you applying yourself. It's going to take you opening a book or using a program or finding a teacher. Or, you know, it's going to take a commitment. It's going to take an effort, and it's going to take practice, right? I'm not going to be a good piano player if I don't practice. I mean, I need a teacher, I need books, I need help, but I need to commit over a long haul. I can't just practice once or twice and be Liberace, right? Do y'all know who that is? I don't know. That's old. Yeah. You remember him? Yes. Well, you're not going to be that or anything close to that unless you practice, right? Our piano teachers know that. Like, good students practice, right? If they're going to be good at piano. And even to the point like where you can enjoy it. Like, it's not even, you don't even enjoy playing until you actually become proficient and have some ability at it. But that requires discipline, right? It requires discipline. Anything worth doing in life, right? Any project you want to complete, any goal you want to achieve, anything worth doing in life will require discipline. And discipline means laying aside comfort, right? I don't want to practice for an hour a day. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like it doing it. But it does mean laying aside certain comforts so that we can have that which we long to have, that work that we feel like is the greater work. We lay aside the present for the greater. Well, discipline, we know, is physical. Discipline is mental. Discipline is spiritual. It's all the above, right? And our walk with God also has discipline involved in it. I mean, in fact, the Christian walk is absolutely, discipline is absolutely necessary. We cannot be successful in the Christian life without discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 speaks to this. And Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church was not known for its discipline. In fact, it was known in some ways as an undisciplined church. They had some issues. They had some problems. And Paul had to deal with quite a few of these problems in his letters. And he's talking to them here. And he's saying, don't you realize something? There's something that you need to realize. And he's speaking to that. He's saying, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize, a prize that will not fade away. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So he's not talking about a competition to get a ribbon, right? But he's using that analogy to speak to us, to speak to the church, about running a race spiritually that's a winning race. And he's saying that absolutely, if we're going to run a winning race in this life as believers, in our spiritual walk, it's going to take discipline. It has to take training. There is something involved that we have to do. Like a Christian athlete, like an athlete in our spiritual lives, it takes a mindset of discipline. So our mind has to be disciplined, and we have to practice it. There's a practice. There's a showing up for practice. How many good athletes are good at what they do without showing up at practice, right? You show up because you have to apply yourself. Discipline is a key component to any successful walk with Christ. Billy Graham, in a sermon, spoke about discipline and its effect as he was preaching about this and thinking about the Christian life. Billy Graham says this. He says, today, how little discipline we have in the way we live. How little discipline do we have in our Christian experience, our Christian life? That is the reason why thousands and thousands of Christians are failing. There is no discipline. Billy Graham saw this, and he led millions to Christ. But at the same time, he acknowledged that while millions have come to Jesus under his preaching, there were also thousands of Christians failing at their Christian walk, very much because of our lack of discipline. Now, here's a reality for all Christians to know. God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves every one of us. And he came to save us. He gives us salvation. He draws us to him, to know him, and our salvation is sure in him. We have this assurance of Christ in us. But every believer needs to know that to be fruitful, to have a success in our walk with Christ, we must walk with God in a disciplined manner. This is so crucial. This deals with our daily habits, with what we do on a daily basis, what we allow into our lives, the influences that we allow into our lives. It's discipline is what we think about and what we meditate upon. It is what we give our time to. It's what we feed our body and what we feed our soul. Discipline is important in every area of life. And one area affects the other. And that's just who we are. The more we have discipline, the more we're successful in our endeavors. This is true for anybody, really. But it's certainly true for the Christian. It's certainly true in our spiritual life. If we think about this, to have victory in our thought life, for instance, I must bring every thought captive to Christ, right? That's what it says. There's activity. There is a working there. There is a discipline of bringing every thought captive to Christ. To have victory over our fleshly desires, we learn to bring our body into obedience. Even Paul talks about this idea of disciplining our bodies and bringing it into obedience. This idea of denying ourselves in surrender to God. Boy, those things are not easy. They're not easy, but yet there's a calling to do that. It takes discipline. Keeping our eyes upon God is a discipline. And it keeps me from wandering off the pathway God has made, wandering on different pathways of life, just even meandering. We're not called to meander. We're called to be on this walk with God, on this pathway of life. And God says it's a narrow way. It's not wide like the world. It's a narrow way. Now let me go back and give you a quote. This is President Harry Truman. I don't want to ask if you were alive, but I kind of want to ask if you were alive. President Harry Truman said, "In reading the lives of great men, I found that the first victory they won was over themselves. Self-discipline with all of them came first." Self-discipline, and this is just his look, and realizing that all people who achieved something of significance in life had this ability to conquer themselves. Whatever we do in life, we need to have discipline. Nothing really much can be accomplished without it. If you know discipline, it has been a friend to you. And I like that because I was just reading different authors. It's like it has been a friend to you. As you grow in discipline, it has become a partner with you to complete tasks, goals, to grow as a person, to experience a better quality of life, and to experience better relationships. Discipline has been a friend to you because it's helped you do the very things that you hope to do. Or simply, it's helped you to grow as a person and to grow in your walk with God. Discipline has been a friend to you in your walk with God. And God has called this, because God has called you to be disciplined. Because why? He's called you to grow. And if God calls you to grow, he's calling you to discipline. Because one does not happen without the other. For each one of us, God has called us to grow. And God has called us to give of ourselves. And he's given us something to do, very important on earth. And if we're willing, each one of us will discover what that is. And sometimes what we discover today is still not the full picture. But if we will do what we know today, God will continue to reveal things he continually wants us to do. So if we're willing, we can discover what God has called us to do. And whatever God has given to you, it requires effort. It requires effort from you. And so the life of a Christian must be disciplined. Rick Warren, Saddleback church planter and pastor, says this. He says, God's ultimate goal for your life on earth is not comfort, but character development. He wants you to grow up spiritually. And there's a purpose for our growth, not only for us that we get to experience growth, but also for others. John Maxwell, a Christian author and leadership guru, says this. He says, if we're growing, we're always going to be out of our comfort zone. And then one more, John Ortberg, evangelical writer and former pastor, said this: the decision to grow always involves a choice between risk and comfort. This means that to be a follower of Jesus, you must renounce comfort as the ultimate value of your life. I don't think we think about that. I mean, actually, if someone asked you today, what's the ultimate value, or what are the ultimate values of your life? What are the things that you hold to dearly to? Like their guiding values for your whole life. Would you be able to answer that? I'm not sure if I would have been, if someone just came off the street and just asked me that question. But that's a good question to think about. What do you value the most? What leads you in your life, or is a guiding value in your life? The reality is if comfort is your ultimate value, if that's what you value the most, you won't grow. Not very much. We won't grow and we won't accomplish greater works that God gives us to bring into being. And I don't know if that's something we want to hear, but it's true. It's true, because without discipline, we can't really accomplish very much. And comfort usually is what will pull us away from being disciplined. So really, if we think about this, if we're going to impact the lives of others, it requires us to take risks that cause us to be uncomfortable. We have to put ourselves sometimes in positions to be out of our comfort zone, to make sacrifices so that others can hear, see, and know about Jesus. We cannot, and I think about this, I literally see a vision of this, we cannot impact the world through a remote control. It takes work, and it takes effort on our part. Probably at the core, people don't know that God loves them until they get a sense of sacrifice. When people hear about the sacrifice that God made for them, that's significant, because people don't realize that the sacrifice that God made for them. But what is also extremely significant is that they see it in a person. They see it in you, and they see it in me. People who are willing to sacrifice and do things to love others so that other people would know about Christ. So oftentimes it does take sacrifice, because they need to see it in the flesh. They can hear about it, but when they see people willing to sacrifice their comfort to bless them, that's real. It's tangible. It's something that speaks of what God has done for us. I don't like to say it. I don't like to think about it, but yes, it requires sacrifice if we're going to be the people of God. And sometimes it calls us to do things that are hard or uncomfortable. Paul wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy. And Timothy was a faithful servant of God, was part of Paul's apostolic team. And he would send Timothy out on assignments. But he's speaking to him here, 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says this to Timothy. He says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Paul's actually encouraging Timothy, and he wants Timothy to remember this faith that he has, this faith that he's from his grandmother to his mother, that he is also embracing, and to remember the gift that God has given him, and to press on, to press on. Because what he's saying here is to remember, fan into flame the gifts that God has given you. And so that's literally this image of coals that are lit, but then it takes this effort to fan the coals so that the flame will ignite again. And it's interesting that Paul's words were a reminder to him, and implicit in what he is saying is the work is not finished. The work is not yet done. There's more work to do. And also implicit here is that Timothy was given over to timidity. Even, it may be just in the little bit. And even in the little bit. But he says this, he's saying, what God has given you is not a spirit of fear of timidity, but of love, power, and self-discipline. So the idea is press on, press in, take hold, live in the spirit that God has given you. It's a temptation. And maybe this was a temptation for Timothy. Maybe this is not the way he lived, but it was certainly a temptation for him to maybe back off, to go easy, to be timid. And he's saying, no, press on, fan into flame the very gifts that God has given you. Well, sometimes we need to hear that too. We need to hear what Paul is saying to Timothy, each one of us, to say there is a call to fight the good fight, to not waver when things get tough. Easily, we know in Paul's life, things got tough. And so if Timothy was hanging out with Paul, things got tough. Things got very, very difficult. And it would be easy to just back away and back off. But this is encouragement to not give up. I really believe the temptation, anytime challenges come our way, is to let go. Just to let go and to seek comfort in those times. But when God's voice is speaking, and God is speaking about doing this or doing that, and we know there's challenges involved, we also know that God is with us in the midst of that challenge. And so that we can step out of our comfort zone. Because guarantee, if God calls you to do anything worth doing, there's going to be a challenge in it. There's going to be some difficulties. There's going to be some uncomfortableness to it. You know, Paul said he learned to be comfortable. And he learned to be comfortable in the good seasons and the not so good seasons, in the high times and the low times. But he learned something. And so this is something that tells me that we also can learn. Philippians 4:12 says, it says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So if we're doing anything worth doing, we better have a source. We better have a source of strength. Because when times do get tough, and he lays out ideas of like well-fed or hungry, but there's a lot of situations where it feels like we're in lack or we're lacking. But we got to know who our source is and always have to be connected to our source to know who is he that gives me strength. It takes discipline to be steadfast when seasons are changing. And sometimes seasons are changing for the better, and sometimes seasons are changing for the worse. But we need to know him who gives me strength. Think about Paul. If Paul had chosen comfort when he was put into prison, when he was being lashed, I mean, you know, if that happens just one time, like, we're done, right? I don't want to go to prison. Hardships will make us tougher and more committed, or it will cause us to go home and not do what we're sometimes called to do. If Paul had chosen comfort, he never would have fulfilled his calling. And that's his encouragement to Timothy. Timothy, you can't fulfill your calling if you are backing up and being timid. Press in, press on. God has given you the gifts. So this goes for anybody who will be fruitful for God in small ways and big ways, because we're not all called to do what Apostle Paul did, but we're all called to be fruitful as believers in Christ. And then certainly in the Christian life, there are things that we don't feel like doing. That's just common human experience, right? It's the common human experience. So I don't care if you're extremely disciplined or you're not as disciplined. Everybody has that feeling. Everybody experiences that. And there's always that decision we have to make. Sometimes it's as simple as the decision just to get up out of bed and go pray and read the Bible. Sometimes it's just that simple thing. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like doing it. And I'm not perfect. I don't bat 1,000. Maybe you do. I don't bat 1,000. But I know it's necessary for me to keep connected into the Word. Like just having spiritual disciplines. Because we talked about that source, keeping connected. I need God's Word. I need prayer. I need that life of God in me. I need to have those disciplines. And if those disciplines are becoming boring for you, do something to get out of the boringness of it. Get something that breathes life into your time with God. Don't just keep doing the same rut and saying, I'm not getting anything out of this, so I'm putting it aside. Don't do that. In fact, what God calls us is, you're not going to get more by doing less. He's saying, press in. Challenge yourself. Get something new. Get a new study Bible, right? Listen to the Word of God. There's so many things we can do. It's the things that you have to press in and say, God, what do I need to do for 2000? If my time with God is becoming rote and routine and just I'm not getting anything out of it, I read it and I don't even know what I just read. It happens to all of us. But then what do? We press in and says, God, I need a fresh approach. I need a new approach. I need to do something that will breathe life, fresh life, into my time with you. So that's sometimes it's that recommitment. Sometimes when New Year's, it's time to recommit. The very things that sometimes are very familiar, but it's a recommitment to that, to those things and to God. You know, God will show you. If you'll just ask, Lord, how do I refresh my spiritual disciplines? How do I get refreshed? How do I get renewed? How do I get replenished? He'll show you. Ask. And then be willing to do it. Because he may ask you to do something that you've never done before. That's what it usually is. He'll ask you to do something. And says, oh, I'm not used to that. But then press in. Press in. You'll get more as you press in. God will show you. Also, part of our discipline is, how are we serving? Part of our growth in God is how we're serving others and blessing others. Again, those gifts that God has given you, I mentioned it last week, those gifts that God's given you doesn't mean you just put them on the shelf and keep them on the shelf gathering dust. Because sometimes it's that we need to reinvigorate our gifts. And maybe in new ways that you have not seen before of how God wants you to fan into flame your gifts and to use them for his purposes to bless others, to serve others. And that doesn't mean necessarily on Sunday morning. That probably more likely means out there in the world. Because it's out there in the world that we need to have the greatest impact. We want the world to come in here, absolutely 100%. But sometimes they won't come in here until we engage them out in the world. Use your gifts. Use the things God's calling you to do. And your time with the Lord should be not just praying about you. We know that. It should be praying for others. Praying even for people we don't know. And that becomes also how you're giving your time as well. So part of our growth in God is serving, is giving. And we're finding a way to do that in 2025, asking God, how do I do this? How do I live this out in my life for this coming year? A lot of times the giving aspect is challenged, especially when it feels like it cost us something, when it feels like a sacrifice, and it does cost us something. Even in the past, there's times when we gave, and it was disappointing. It was frustrating. Maybe it was unappreciated. Maybe we got hurt. Maybe we got hurt in a church. It happens. It does happen. And for various reasons. But God wants us to work through that. And he wants us to work through any hurts or disappointments we may have. And he wants us to fan into flame the very things that God has given us to do. Engaging the world as faithful, renewed people of God requires us to give something of ourselves, right? There's just something that in giving, we're blessing, we're giving. But we have to lose always the mindset, if I give, I won't have. If I give, I won't have. That's the spirit of lack. We can talk about this as money, right? Or we can talk about it as resources, time. We can talk about it in many, many facets of what God has given us. But here's the good news. God is the source. He's the source. This is why we go back to spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines keep us connected closer with God. You know, if you fast and pray, does that really take something from you? What's it going to cost you? It's going to cost you hunger, right? It's going to cost you uncomfortable feelings. It's going to cost you desiring choice food. There's different ways to fast. It could be social media, right? It's going to cost you the feeling, I don't know, they really say it's an endorphin high. Like, this is an endorphin high for some people. Like, it actually creates a brain thing going on that creates excitement, almost like a hamster on a wheel. It does. I mean, the scientists say that it creates some endorphin highs when you're on that social media and like Facebook on that, and you're scrolling and doing all that kind of stuff. The return is not always the best, right? It doesn't always give the best return ultimately. But if you're putting aside things, right? God says anything that you put aside for my sake, there will be a reward, a blessing coming back to you. And so all that is discipline. But if anything we do connects us closer to God, then that's connecting us to the source that we need, the source that we give out of. So don't think you're giving out of an empty cupboard or you just have a little bit of in the cupboard. You're supplied. In Christ, you're supplied. He has given you. And in that sense, God's going to bless you. He's going to continue to enrich you and enable you. Galatians 4, verse 9, says this. He says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." There's a blessing in giving, and we know that. God says, it's not just a saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But there's such blessing in the giving. You have something still yet to do. A lot of things to do in this life. And God wants to do in you and through you. And it's a blessing to be a part of what He is doing in the world today. To see somebody's life changed. You know, somebody you're praying for. That God's going to call you, you know. If God calls you to step out of your, that's it. That's the place. That's the place of growth. When God calls you to step out of your comfort zone, that's the place of growth. And to say no is to say no to growing. And it's also the part, like sometimes we want to be used, God. We want to even feel that. And I know I do. I mean, maybe I'm human. I want to feel like I'm being used by God. But so often is when I get into an uncomfortable place is where I feel the most used by God. I mean, it's kind of funny, but how many people got healed that you didn't pray for, right? How many people got touched by the gifts you didn't give them or bless them or love them or that hug that you didn't give? So it just takes that stepping out. And sometimes it feels weird and it feels uncomfortable. So I can't tell you what 2025 should look like for you, right? I can't speak exactly to what God would say to you, but I can tell you that you need to and are called to grow, right? We're called to grow as Christian believers. Until the day we pass on from this earth, we are called to grow in the Lord, to go with God. And He's still doing something in us and through us. So I can't tell you exactly what manner, but I do know that we're called to grow. And I can't tell you what you need to do, but I'm here to tell you that it does involve discipline. Whatever God calls you to do does involve discipline. It involves us making the effort that we need to make. God will speak these things to you as we ask Him. Say, Lord, what do I need to do different? What do I need to do fresh? What do I need to do that I haven't been doing? We need to ask. And then we ask, are we willing to do it? And there's a big difference. And the Lord was showing me this week. There's a big difference between when we come to God and God speaks something to us. God says something to us. And God was telling me there's a big difference between I can't, meaning like I literally can't, right? And there's things I can't do anymore. I can't touch the rim of a basketball goal. I can't do that anymore unless I cheat. I can't run distances and speed like I used to could run when I was in high school. There's things I can't do anymore. Not to that level. I also can't go run a marathon right now. Like if I tried, I might make it a couple miles, but I'm not going to make it. But there's a difference between I can't and I won't. If God called me to run a marathon, I can do it. I literally can. And I can't do it today. It's not going to happen today. But with discipline, with effort, with commitment, if He called me to do that, I could do it. Would it involve being uncomfortable? Yes. Would it involve discipline? Absolutely. I'm going to have to commit myself to a work to do, to accomplish, to get there to where I could actually run a marathon. Praise God, He hasn't called me to run a marathon. Not today. Not today, He hasn't. But what has He called you to do? And that's the question. What has He called each of us to do? It's probably not likely He's called you to run a marathon, but there is something in life where we, as Paul says, we run to win. We run to win. And it's a challenge that sits before each one of us when God says, you can, but will you? There's a big difference between I can't and I won't. And the I won't is an act of your will. And God can't use I won't. He can't use that. If our will does not agree with His will, He can't use that. And there will be things that we won't experience because of the I won'ts. So think about this. Micah 6:8 reminds us, mankind, what has God told each of you to do? He has told each of you what is good and what it is the Lord requires of you, to act justly and to love faithfulness and to walk humbly with your God. So think about these things. What does it mean to walk humbly with your God? Submitting yourself to Him, giving Him your yes. Humbling ourselves before God is a discipline in and of itself. When I come to pray, when I come to spend time with Him, when I come to hear His word, there's a calling for each of us. It might look different, but there's a calling for each of us. And part of the calling is to grow. In 2025, you're called to grow. Don't stay the same. Don't stay in places that feel very comfortable and very familiar. Because oftentimes, God will call you into some unfamiliar and into some uncomfortable. For your good and for the good of others. For God's purpose this year is to be fulfilled in your life. It says He has a purpose to fulfill in your life. And there are wonderful things ahead. So expect good things from God. And may discipline be your friend. May it be a partner to you. A partner that will help you do the very things that God has called you to do.